Hello, dumplings. Welcome to Let's Get Ugly, the podcast where we dive deep into the latest beauty, wellness, and lifestyle secrets that aren't always pretty, but always real.
We're your co-hosts, Trishna and Disha.
The sister duo keeping it 100% authentic, really sassy, and silly at the same time.
We are really silly and, of course, very sassy. So come join us, grab your favorite drink, and welcome to the next episode of Let's Get Ugly.
Sophia, welcome Hello. To Let's Get Ugly.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. I mean, your work is something that we have followed for so long, being with you in the same building for many years.
Very true.
For background info, we all lecture together, which is really nice.
We do, yes, we do.
But I mean, your work and how it's evolved and how you've gone from kind of fashion styling to sculptural work to visual art really challenges how society views identity and creativity, which is so amazing.
We are so fascinated in your transition from stylist to artist, and I think that's a really good place to start, to be honest. So could you tell us, how did your early work in fashion shape the visual language that you've developed today?
I mean, for me, it's everything. It's in relation to the idea of connection with people. So eventually I see this concept of, if you want to call it concept, the tool of fashion and the tool of art more or less on the same level. So when it comes to my practice in relation to styling, I see very much the connection in relation to what I do eventually nowadays with art and sculpture. I see this connection through the element of communities and the way that I'm trying to express that sense of belonging to a place that eventually we can all relate to, despite you know each other or not. So in that sense, I feel like styling and my early stage in the fashion industry helped me to shape identities, character that eventually we can relate to each other with.
What's really interesting for our viewers and listeners that are maybe unfamiliar with your work is your work actually revolves around bodies. And we've had conversations before where you literally are like, oh, that's my stomach, that's my chest.
Yeah.
Could you explain a little bit about your sculptural work? Like, tell us a little bit about what it looks like to somebody that can't go onto Google right now and they're listening to the pod. Like, how would you describe what your art pieces look like?
I mean, that's a tough one in the sense, when I speak with a lot of people, like what they perceive from my sculpture is the idea of discomfort, which eventually translates into the idea of tenderness. So visually speaking, I would say that they look like puppets in a way, but they're much more for me in the sense that I use that tool, the idea of building sculpture through my own body as a way to sort of doing therapy, no? For myself, to try to find, I don't know, I suffer for years and years of insomnia. And for me, it was such a struggle, especially when I was a teenager, like to actually share this issue that I had with sleeping with friends, because I thought I was so weird. And in the sense, this approach towards the art field with this sculpture is the way for me to share this issue with others and not feel like ashamed of it. And in a way, when I see people looking at my sculpture and interact with them, I can perceive that maybe they don't suffer from insomnia, but they have other issues that we can all relate to, and we feel somehow ashamed because it goes against what is considered socially accepted to be.
I think that's so interesting.
So, so interesting. And I mean, when you started out, you were a stylist first, so you did work with bodies in a different way. And obviously there's been an evolution there. What was that pivotal moment for you where you were like, I'm moving into the art space? How did that decision come about?
I have no clue. In the sense that I always work in fashion and like my family work in fashion as well. So for me, it was something that it came very naturally, like, to go and study, for instance, fashion styling as a thing. I always knew that I loved to create stuff with my own hands, but I never knew how to use that as a work. I always seen and perceived that as a hobby in a way. I'm not sure when it happened, but at a certain level, I always knew, because when I was, for instance, every time that I was on set or I was doing commercial job and styling job related, I always felt like something was off, in the sense that I always had the perfect idea in mind on how the image should have looked like at the end. And with other people involved, like makeup artist or model, I always felt that I was never reaching that idea that I had in mind fully. And so in that sense, I started to then develop a huge interest into still life because I had no people. So I could play around with objects. And then from there, I switched into sculpture during lockdown because I was so bored and I was with my best friend, which is a photographer. And we started to play around with like my own clothes. And I started to build around like shapes. And then from there, I started to do all of this.
Wow, I think that's amazing as well. And like, especially during a time that was so difficult, yeah. Then, you know, when you're going through things emotionally at that time to kind of build new art with it, it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it does extend beyond the sculptures. You've got beautiful paintings,
yeah.
Tapestries, music videos. True. I mean, it really is kind of an incredible creative output from you. I was going to ask, are there elements of styling that you link to your work today? Like any key principles? Because at the end of the day, like Disha just said, and we've been discussing, it is all about bodies. So are there elements of styling that are really integral to the role you do today?
I think all of them. Like, for instance, research-wise, I do research constantly, whether it's fashion-related or art-related, but the methodology that I follow is still what I would use to, for instance, prep a shoot. So I'm very I follow a very strict methodology, and through that, I'm able to open up. As you said, I do so many, I would say, random things. Like, one day I do, like, drawing, one day I do sculpture, but it's mainly because, like, I come up with ideas, but I have... Before the idea, I have an emotion that I want to express somehow. So through the element of styling mainly, I'm able to express the identity, whether it's through a painting or a music video or a sculpture itself. That's why I'm so broad and I'm doing a bit of everything altogether.
Yeah, it's definitely the best way to kind of express all of those different skills as well. But having that core methodology is fascinating. So for the students tuning in, the research doesn't leave you ever.
10 billion images does not leave you ever.
Ever.
Ever. For sure. I mean, in terms of your residency that you had at Show Studio, that was amazing. Do you want to talk people through that piece of work, how it was like, and the nugget that you shared with us before we went on air? Oh.
Now, after, when was it? Last June. After 6 months, I feel like it's been one of the most beautiful experience that I ever had in relation to my art practice. Back then, I was very scared because it was the first time that I was like building sculpture, but building them not alone in a space, but actually interacting with people, which for me is such a struggle. For me, as I said, like I build sculpture on my own body, so it's a very, very, very personal process, which I do most of the time, every single day a bit. And I ended up maybe being a week locked down in the studio for like 19 hours, completely drained. But that's my own process with music, or I listen to books and so on. I love to spend time alone while I'm doing all of this. So for me already, the idea of being in a space with other people, doing my own thing, it was already a bit of a struggle. Then we had the extra element that I didn't know these people. So eventually you have the interaction with the social pressure of being nice, because you need to be nice despite you want to or not. Then eventually it was actually very pleasant. At the beginning, I was scared about my own reaction towards those people and the way, you know, like to follow, as I said, a new methodology of building this culture. So I was a bit afraid not to be able to actually come up with something. But then eventually it helped me a lot to open up, because I always talk about it. I was talking with the people from Show Studio. It was quite interesting because I always talk about how I'm trying to express this idea of community and tenderness and the idea of how we are all connected to each other. But then I was the first one to be scared to be connected with someone that I didn't know. So at that stage, I realized, and I was like, okay, actually, while I was talking with these people that were completely stranger and people that they had no clue of what I was doing. At some point, we had these two old ladies. They came in like randomly and they were looking for a coffee place. And we started to chit chat. They were from Bristol. They were like visiting the nephew. And this lady was like, I don't understand what you're doing, but it looks very, very beautiful. Well done. And I've realized some of those personalities, those identities in that moment stick with me, and they were part of the sculpture as well that I was building at the moment. At least not them as person, but them in terms of emotion. Like for me, seeing someone that is more than 80 years old visiting the nephew, I would think about my grandma. So that's the idea, no, of tenderness that I'm trying to express.
I think that it's really interesting, going back to distortion and tenderness. How do you create balance?
I don't. I mean, I'm trying to. I don't know if I'm able to.
But is it important, do you think? Like, do people need to have both in moderation? Or, you know, is it really, like, personal to a piece of work?
It depends how you perceive it, I guess. Because, like, for me, one of the main artists that I look after is Louise Bourgeois. If you speak with some people, Louise Bourgeois is the expression of roughness. For some others, I mean, at least for me, for instance, is the idea of tenderness, completely embracing yourself in all the different elements that compose yourself, the art and the beauty of it. So for me, it depends the way that you perceive it.
So it's more about acceptance then?
I guess, but it starts from your own acceptance of yourself. That's why I think, I don't know if I'm able to, I'm not trying to find a balance, but hopefully I will find it one day. It's more accepting the fact that you have issue. Like I struggle to sleep and I do nightmare constantly. And before it was like I would wake up in the morning and be pissed off and be like, oh no, again, another nightmare. Nowadays what I do, I write them down and I'm like, okay, maybe I can get some element out of this nightmare that I can use to create something beautiful with my sculpture. So it's the way that you embrace what you live throughout the day, I guess.
I was also gonna ask then, have you seen the movie Substance? Did you watch it?
Yeah.
I just feel like I would love to know what your take on it was. Because I feel like it must have resonated a lot, right?
It does and it does not. In the sense that I do understand on one level the fact that you don't want to become old. But on the other side, on the other end, I'm like, why would you destroy yourself to reach something that you're not anymore? So it means that you never accept yourself already when you were younger. I'm still thinking about that movie because I'm not sure what my point of view is in relation to that. I feel like sometimes, especially when you do this kind of movie that they're a bit mainstream, no? In the sense that they're touching so many people, it's always easy to go and touch those topics that are a bit, I mean, mainstream, no? In a way that we are aware that we struggle with our own body, the way that we perceive ourselves, the way that we dress, the makeup that we use, and so on and on and on.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting. I just really wanted to know your take on it because I watched it twice. I rewatched it again this weekend.
With me.
With Tisha.
And of course, who else is going to watch it with her?
And we were just chatting about what it meant because I felt like initially, like, I didn't get it.
Right. And I was like, I get it completely. Like, in a sense that, like, I understood that she wanted to go over this transformation. The one thing I didn't understand was if you had a chance to do it all over again,
would you do it?
No, I personally wouldn't, but yeah. I just thought that she lived the same reality. So that's what I found confusing.
I would love to look younger and hotter, but I would do different stuff. Would I? Actually, no, I think I would do the same thing again.
But why can you do the same thing, like, even if you're not younger?
No, younger and hotter.
But it's the way that you perceive yourself, no, in a
yes,
way.
Yes, of course. Of course. But I think, like, this is so interesting because obviously, like, aging is something that we're all facing.
Yeah.
Every second of every day, no matter who we are.
Yeah, we do.
Rapidly. It's just funny. Like, you know what I picked up on today, which was really weird? But I was like, oh my God, all of our white hair is showing.
Gray.
Your grays, my grays.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do I feel about that?
But would you change something of yourself?
I change something all the time. I mean, I'm like happy to inject myself with anything. Cool. I will do any treatment. I will do anything. And I feel like I'm constantly chasing something that doesn't exist. So when I saw the movie The Substance, I was like, cool.
See, that's the nice aspect of the movie that I found very connected with what I do every day. Because I look up a stranger. I mean, I have folder over and over, like a random picture of stranger doing gesture or the way that they sit down or the way that they dress and so on. And I found so interesting, maybe because I was doing that as well, to see how people readjust themselves towards different things that they do and different people that they go to do these things, that you completely changing, for instance, through the styling, your own personality. So it means that at the core, you're not actually accepting yourself for who you are, because if you feel like that you need to change yourself towards someone else and the environment that you're going to be in, it means that eventually there is something off. But it's a beauty. It's quite interesting to see how people can readjust themselves by maintaining who they are.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I don't know what my point of view of the movie is, because I understand it, but I don't on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, I think a part of it made me greatly excited and a part of it made me greatly sad.
Yeah. It's quite sad.
I found it so sad. I mean, look, I'm all for like doing whatever you need to do to make yourself look good, right? Like, I think if that's what you need to 100%, do to feel happy.
But are you going to be happy at the end?
No.
That's my question.
It was self-destruction.
That's the sad part, no? Because I'm totally up to do anything that it makes you feel better, whatever.
I know how I'm taking.
Some Botox.
Yeah, you want to come and get some Botox with me?
I would do it if I would be sure 100% that after that, I'm going to be happy and content with myself. That's which is not going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
I think it does. Because I did my masseters, right? Because I clench my jaw. Stress. Love it. but after I did it, and I was looking at pictures of myself, literally on the phone with one of our cousins, like 48 hours ago. And she just got hers done a few weeks ago, like her masseters too. Because I think it's genetic. We all clench. It's a familial trait. But basically, like she was like, did it really make you look that different? And I was like, my face literally like 2 years ago looked distorted to me because it wasn't what I was used to seeing.
Yeah.
Whereas now that I've done it like 3 times and my face has gone back to normal and I just feel more comfortable. Like if it was 2 years ago, would I be comfortable to start a podcast on camera? Honestly, I don't think so. Truthfully. Mm.
Interesting.
True. In terms of your exploration of the body, is it in a way to go against the societal norms and expectations that we see, especially within the fashion industry? Is that a take on it that you have?
Not at all. Not at all, in the sense that maybe yes, but another like question that they usually ask me that I found super interesting that I never thought about is the fact that I usually do female body, but is not in relation to fashion norm or the way that like bodies should be perceived or feminism. Is honestly, like, it's mainly a process that I started to heal for myself. And so that's why I use my body, because that my body, using my body is the way that I can connect with people that I don't know. Expression that I perceive without knowing those people in front of me. So it's my own taking element from them and translate them into something that I know. And eventually this is why they're also female, because I am a female and I know my own body. I wouldn't be able to express something that I don't know. So it's not fashion norm, but I mean, it can relate in a sense. It's more acceptance of yourself. As you said, you wouldn't recognize yourself 2 years ago, but let me ask you something. When you look at the picture, maybe you are in the best shape ever 3 years ago, and you were not content looking at the mirror 3 years ago. Now you look back at those pictures and you're like, oh, I wish I could be like that. So you like on a cycle, no? An ongoing cycle. And for me, that's why, I mean, we all struggle with our own body, but eventually we are all stuck with it. You cannot leave it. You cannot escape. It's part of you. It's who you are. So it's also a way not to find the funny part of it, like taking the piece as well of like how we are never content with ourselves eventually at the end.
Yeah, it's true. Even when it comes to our styling choices.
Oh yeah. So full disclosure, this season we're wearing shoes.
Yes.
And we're wearing outfits. Styled by Sophia Long.
Thank God.
She banned my sparkles. Yeah, look at her.
More socks.
Yeah, no more socks. And look at you today in socks and sparkles.
Yes.
Throwing it in our face like, look, girls, you can't do it, but I can.
I can.
Would you ever return to like fashion styling again?
I mean, I still do them. It's not the most enjoyable thing that I would choose to do every day.
Yeah.
I guess it's also part of something that every day is allowing me to understand and move forward in what I'm doing in relation to art as well. So I'm actually happy to continue to do that kind of job that eventually are not art, but they're mainly styling because they allow me to, first of all, still be in contact with other people. Because yeah. otherwise I would be stuck in my studio alone, going completely nuts. And second of all, they allow me also to understand how to interact and how to perceive maybe element that comes also for instance, from trends, like consumer behavior wise, that allow me to understand how to translate those emotions into what I'm doing and create something that is still relevant nowadays.
Definitely. How do you see your worlds moving together in the future? Like, what do you see as your next move?
Good question. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow I'm going to wake up and want to build a house. I'm not sure. What I know, like, is that for the first time ever, in relation to my art, I'm not thinking what is going to be the next step, which eventually allow me to find a lot of next step altogether, because I'm embracing it fully as something that I purely do to be happy. So I'm not like stressing about, oh, I need to reach this achievement in 2 years' time, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. For instance, now I'm working on this exhibition that I'm doing in a year time, and I'm gonna be in the room with some of the work from Louise Bourgeois. And when they told me that, I started to cry. That was for me like the biggest achievement in my life, because I look to her work since I'm like 12. So I do really know, to be honest with you.
If you could collaborate with any artist or designer to merge their world with yours, who would it be and why?
Louise Bourgeois would be one of those, to be honest. Not to work or to create something with her, but I would dream, I would love to have like maybe an hour to have a talk with her of random things, but I would like actually to know what's her process around, like what she did and like how she perceived realities. And for me, I feel very much connected with her because she was the first one that I saw that allowed me in art to not feel a completely stranger or weird person. And I started by looking not at her artworks, but mainly at the fact that she was writing down a lot of diaries, which I used to do as well. And I remember I was 14 and my dad had this office next to this art gallery. And I went to this art gallery there. It was a friend of my dad. And he was like, oh, look, there are some catalogs if you want to spend like an hour to go through them. And I saw Louise Bourgeois catalog and I saw that she was writing down diaries since she was a kid. And I was like, okay, so maybe I'm not that weird. Maybe it's fine. And so I would actually love to have a conversation with her.
I love that.
Who knows? It may come true.
In another world, in another time.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll help you sort
that out. Imagine with metaverse.
With the literally, it would have to be like, you know how the Kardashians brought Robert Kardashian back.
Exactly.
It would have to be in that way.
Yeah.
But in terms of the idea of community, which is so integral to your work, what's been a surprising reaction that you've gotten that's always stuck with you?
I mean, for me, it was amazing my parents accepting what I'm doing, because I've always been like scared. I don't know, in Italy, I don't know if it's in Italy or the way that that I've been raised, there is always the idea that doing something that it's weird is not accepted. Or maybe we actually grew up with this idea, but maybe it's not true. So for me, like putting out there all the issues that I have and translate them into art, I was like, okay, they're gonna be ashamed, they will not understand what I'm doing. But actually, they were super happy for the fact that I was just able to create something out of it, to get like the nice bits out of it. So I guess that was the happiest moment, and I was completely shocked about it because I thought they would have not understood.
Wow. That's actually really nice. What does good style mean to you?
Good style.
What are
not socks?
Yeah.
Not socks.
No socks.
Wearing shoes.
We're never gonna live that
We're
down.
We're not gonna live that down. And it's all on the internet. No. Well, what are common mistakes that people make? Like that you notice, that you always see, and you're like, why do they do?
Making too much effort. I feel like most of the time when people put too much effort in creating styling, it means that it's gonna end up in a big mess because it's not them. So for me, that is the main issue that I see a lot of time. It's a random mix and match of things that eventually the person itself do not understand how to use them.
I love that.
Sounds relatable.
Yeah, it sounds really relatable, to be honest. Very relatable.
Sophia is getting flashbacks to our closet.
That's why I can wear glitter. Yeah. In sequence, like, all together.
She's like, I understand what it means. You need time. So. No glitter for you. I mean, they're on my shoes a little bit.
See, you have them. You have the sparkle.
I know. It has to be somewhere, either through the jewelry or something. Otherwise, I'm lost. So in terms of the next segment, we have beauty-related questions that we ask every guest. Mm. It's quick fire, rapid round. And are you ready?
Tell me.
Okay, so the first question is, what's one beauty rule you love breaking?
Beauty rule that I love breaking.
I have one for you.
Tell me.
So Sophia doesn't own concealer. Concealer, yeah.
Very true.
Very true.
And most of the time I don't remove my makeup at night because I'm too bored lazy to do it.
This gives me stress for you.
That's me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So two beauty rules you love breaking. Yeah. So if you could give your younger self one piece of beauty related advice, what would it be?
Do not use safety pin on the trousers to make them look even more skinny.
Oh.
What I would do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Dangerous.
We all pass through the phase emo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we are all the same age, more or less.
What's a beauty moment, good or bad, that you will never forget?
On your
exactly side. This. Wearing the safety pin here at the end, at the bottom of the jeans to make them skinny with Uggs.
The ones that you, like, same style as what you just bought recently.
Yes. not with skinny jeans and not pretending to look like Avril Lavigne. No, it's all good.
Do you want to do your card segment now?
Yes. Now we're going to do your, you know, I love doing this and I do this for you from time to time. But I'm just going to ask what the message of the day is for you.
I don't know, what is it
going to
say?
Ooh, spiritual warrior. I mean, it is good. It just means think about connecting to the more spiritual side of yourself. Mm. It's a big meaning card. And with all the planets in retrograde right now, like so many of them are, it's a good time to just kind of take the time out to like spiritually balance yourself.
So facial tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, basically.
Amazing. Well, Sophia, thank you so much for sharing your world with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's honestly been such a nice journey to hear, and I love the way that creativity is all balanced out with the evolution of where you're moving, and I just can't wait to see genuinely what comes for you next.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.